Well, I am very, very happy to be here. And I live in Charlotte with my wife, Debbie. We've been there over 9 years. The congregation there started about 10 years ago. And a very critical time as we were trying to get our feet on the ground, you graciously, well, maybe you didn't graciously consent, but you allowed Rusty and Susan to come our way. And by the grace of God, they came at just a wonderful time and were such a blessing to us. And we come to love and appreciate them and the spirit that they have. I will express that they say confession is good for the soul, and so I just want to tell you, I am prejudiced. They told myself and my wife about you all and said that you all remind them so much of the Brethren at State Line, and I love the Brethren at State Line. And so I came here way ahead of the curve in loving and respecting you because of the great respect they have for you, and appreciate that very much. Appreciated the good way that we just were led in song, that our hearts might be prepared and opened up to the Word of God. Now, I know I only have just a few minutes, and so I want to talk with us this morning about a subject of free will. It's a lesson that I preach just about everywhere I go, and because I think it is such a critical lesson. It is a fundamental lesson. And basically what we're talking about is you have the right to choose. It is a powerful, powerful matter. And when we think about the idea of free will and having the right to choose, you know, we've all been given certain things, certain attributes, abilities, so forth and so on. And some of those I can't change, but I can refine what I have. I sort of grew up as a country boy, so I think about knives. And I may not be able to determine the metal that's out of the blade, but I can determine the edge that I put on it. And I like this idea of cards here. I was dealt a certain hand of cards. And so were you. You've got certain abilities, capacities, male, female, you know, whatever your capacities might be. But what we have to do is choose. We choose what we will do with those, how we will play the hand, if you would. That's just an illustration. But to me, it is very colorful, powerful, and a very focused concept. Here I am. I can't lead singing like this brother did. I'm thankful God gave him the abilities, and I appreciate the spirit in which he did that. That is huge. But I can do what I can do, and that's where you are at. But what you have to do and I have to choose, whatever hand we are dealt, whatever things come along in our life, we have to determine, make a choice, what will we do with it? Free will is actually a great privilege and a blessing that God has given us. He didn't make us robots where we didn't have any choice. He didn't program us so that we get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, we bow down like in some mechanical way, say, oh, praise you, great Jehovah God. But he appealed to us by his goodness and his love and by his plans for us and his drawing power in the good things that he has prepared and says, come serve me, trust me, follow me. And he allows us to choose. Now, animals don't have that. Animals, some of them are sort of smart. You can train them to do some interesting things. I understand some folks in here are really into horses and other animals, maybe dogs, and they do some incredible things. But we call that instinct, and we can train them to do certain things maybe in a better way. But they are unlike humans. You've never seen a kangaroo hopping down the sidewalk down here because you say, well, you know, I was tired of living in Australia, so I got on a plane and came over here. But you will find Australians if you walk around the United States very long, because we have the ability to think and to reason. We have rational thought that the animal world does not have that allows us to make choices. And that's where you're at and I'm at this morning. Thank you for choosing to be here. If you're not a Christian, I hope that you'll think about what God has done for you. You'll give serious consideration to the weight and the evidence of the reality of who we are in our existence. And I hope that you will choose to seek God and to obey him. But the bottom line is God gave you that choice. And he gave me and each of us that choice. And as much as I love my wife of 46 and almost 47 years of marriage, I can't even do it for her, and she can't do it for me. But we're trying to help each other do it. So that's good. But as we think about this matter of free will and think about this idea of choice, that we each have it. And as we think about this, it means in a very personal way that I have to choose what I will do with my life. Now, I may not be able to choose the health that I have. But I tell you, let me, you know, pick on Susan here for just a second. I know when she would come into State Line sometimes, she'd come in and I could see written off her face, she was hurting. But what that did for me was that made me stand tall. That encouraged me, that strengthened me. She didn't know that. Because she made a choice, I'm going to go worship my God. I can hurt at home or I can hurt here. I'm going to hurt. But I'm going to come and worship God. And I see that in people that struggle with various health problems or maybe challenges of life. And they humbly choose. I will love this man that's a knothead that I'm married to. And I will submit to Christ. I will submit to my husband within the realm of the will of Christ, and I will live for him. And I bring that up because a dear sister of ours back in Illinois, where I preached for 30 years, just passed away this last week. Her husband was not a Christian for 26 years. When I finally baptized him, he got between a mama cow and her calf at his brother's house, and she charged him, and he was in the hospital for that. And he said, man, this could have been the end. But afterwards, he said, when he obeyed the gospel, he said, I made life hard for her. He said, I put the hammer down on her for 26 years. Children are all Christians. Because she said in the midst of that, I choose to walk with God. I choose to serve him. And that is a powerful, powerful matter. So it affects me and it affects you. And I tell you what, choices like that have an impact on all of us as we look. I'd like to say more about that, but I need to step across that threshold of my free will. Now, he will encourage me. He will bring to oftentimes my attention, man, Gail, if you do this, it's going to cause you a lot of grief and a lot of problem. And so he will put things in there to help me. He may be even put a barrier that I have to go around, but I get to choose. But if I understand correctly, free will is such a powerful thing, and God respects us as being human beings in the way that he made us, so that we can choose to serve him or not. But there are consequences to the choices that we make. But God will not step across that line of free will, but he allows us to make those choices. And because we have such a limited amount of time this morning, I only have 10 more minutes, I'm going to have to keep going. But as we would look at that, God, even in the time of miracles, simply used his word and used the influence of people to try to get people to do what they should. One of the things I love about studying the prophets of the Old Testament, a lot of times we think of a prophet, we think about someone that tells the future. Well, they did that by the power of God, the Holy Spirit guiding them. But much of what they did is they made an appeal to God's people, is come back and be faithful to God and humbly serve him. And God tested them as they were in the Exodus, which we'll talk about later this morning, that they had to choose what they would do. And so as God does all that, he encourages me. But I want to suggest, secondly, with that, is that although God has the ability and will not step across my free will, the devil does not have the power to overrule, to overcome my free will. And I say that is a powerful thing to know. That is a critical thing to know. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We could look at several other examples. You remember what the king said? You bow or you burn. And they said, we will not. Our God is able to deliver us, but whether he does or not, we will not bow down and serve your idol. And you know how things unfolded in the fiery furnace. The devil put all the pressure he could on them, but they would not give in. They chose. The devil could not make them. We could go back to Adam and Eve, and he appealed to her. And why in the world did she listen and do what the devil said? God had given everything good, and here's this lying serpent that comes along because he told her what she wanted to hear. I mean, that's sort of the bottom line. That sounds good to me, and that's what I want. But we choose. And one of the wonderful, wonderful things that comes out of that is there is great, great encouragement. if I want to go to heaven more than anything else, and I will submit my will to the Heavenly Father's, the devil, the devil's armies, all his forces, all this world can muster together, cannot keep me out. Of all the things that there are in this world, from this creation perspective, free will, if not the strongest, is one of the strongest, greatest things that God put here. And only you have been given the capacity to choose what you will do. How you treat your wife, how you treat your children, how you treat your brethren, how you treat your enemies, how you treat your neighbor, how you respond to God. So we get to choose. And as we study this week, everything that we talk about, we're going to find again and again and again, what's going to happen is we choose. And so the question is, what will I choose? What will I do? Where will I go? How will I spend my life? Will I submit my will to God's? And so I have to sort all those things out. Again, I'm trying to move forward here because we have plenty to consider. This matter of free will explains a lot of things. First, I'll suggest that it explains something about the tree in the garden. Here's this beautiful garden in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve are placed in this wonderful garden. And here is everything that you can imagine that is good. Even there, the tree of life, which they could partake of. They could eat of all those trees except the one that God said, don't eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat of this, you will surely die. Free will explains one of the reasons that tree was there. And there's probably reasons I have no idea about. That's God's business. But without something to be able to choose, there would be no expression of free will. And as that tree is there, God said, don't do this. And when you do, here's what will happen. Eve and Adam had to make a choice. They could exercise their free will. And so this matter of free will certainly tells us something about that. She was tested and gave in. Unfortunately, we have all been tested and have given. We've all sinned. And so as this week goes on, we'll talk about some things associated with that. So that means that because of our choice, because I chose to sin, I have the consequences for that. But God said, I'm not leaving you there. I made a way. This can be made right with him. It explains why sin is in the world and why God would allow such. When you talk to folks that hate God and are against the Bible, and one of their powerful arguments through the years, if there really is a God who is almighty and all-powerful, why does he allow, and he is good, why does he allow wickedness to go on? And I could just talk in general about some things that would make us cringe that go on in our world, and then there are many other things I wouldn't even start to talk about. Bad, evil, horrible things that happen in this world. That is a world. We live in a broken world. But this matter of free will is smack dab in the middle of why those things are. Now, that's not the end of the story. That's what we need to understand. That there's a day of judgment. God is going to right all the wrongs. God is going to bring every man and woman to judgment before God, and we'll give an account for what we have done. And so God will right all that. But what is necessary because of this matter, this privilege and blessing that God has given us of free will, is that when we choose not to listen to God, there are consequences. When Eve and Adam chose not to obey God, there were consequences. And those consequences have impacted us, sometimes because of other sins that come into the world, sometimes because of my own failures and choices and sins. But this wickedness is in the world, at least in part, is an aspect of free will. Now, God could have made us robots, so we wouldn't have it. But that's not what he did. He respected us and made us human beings and says, you choose. I wasn't always a Christian. I didn't grow up as a Christian. My folks were in the world. And when I was about a teenager, my folks obeyed the gospel. I lived hard in the world. Went to the military straight out of high school and obeyed the gospel while I was in the military because I could see living and chasing this world had no real future. But it was not until I was at a place where I was willing to choose that I would change that. I tell folks, you could send all the preachers and all the people you wanted 6 months before then. I wasn't listening. I wasn't ready to choose. Young people, the way of God is good. I'm just telling you. I'm just turned 68 years old. And I'm telling you, the Word of God, if you will listen to it and really follow it, not just go to church, but you choose to serve God and submit to Him, it will bless your life in ways you can't imagine. And I'm getting to be an old man, depending on who you ask. God is good and His way is good. And I'm thankful. And the sin that promises so much delivers so many bad things. Free will tells us something about the matter of the difficulty of parenting. Deborah and I have 4 children. We have 22 grandchildren. And we are greatly blessed. But it is a challenge. It is work. And one of the challenges of raising children is they also have will, some strong-willed, but they have free will. And actually, having strong will can be a good thing when it's brought under the master's use. You might think of a spirited horse. You know, that's what you want, one that's got a lot of life and power and ability to it, but you have to bring that under the control of the master. And so this matter of free will, we choose. And in parenting, certainly, it provides many, many difficulties. Since I only have another minute or two here, it's hard to believe. Those clocks like to lie. It provides some limits in explanation of this, of the matter of prayer. We cannot always expect God to do what we ask, even when we say, according to your will. God is, maybe I have a son that's not what he needs to be, and I pray that and pray that he will. God will not step across his free will. That's not according to God's will. That's not how he made us. Now, I'm going to keep praying, and what I will do is pray that, Lord, you bring whatever there is into his life or her life that will turn them. If you need to take my life to impact, then so be it. You do. If there's something to be done, I trust you. I'll try to do my part. But Lord, bring that about. But in this matter of our prayers, there are certain things God will not do. Not according to his character. Not according to his creation. God's not going to lie. You all know that. Hebrews chapter 6 and other places. Well, it also talks about and addresses the matter of the justice of punishment. That there is a judgment day coming. And because I chose to sin, there are consequences that come on me. And in that judgment day, this matter of free will is involved in the middle of that. Let me go ahead and express one other thing, because my time's gone. Two things. We think about the concept of hell. That is a horrible, horrible concept, but it is true. And as you study the scriptures, you find that it is Jesus that uses the word Gehenna almost all the time. One exception in James chapter 3, talking about the tongue. It is a horrible concept. If I go to hell, it's because that's what I deserve for the consequences of my sin. If I'm delivered from hell, it's because of the grace of God and what he has made available in Christ Jesus. And because I choose to submit my will to his, to obey his gospel, and to be delivered. This matter of free will gives me great encouragement because nobody can keep me out of heaven, not even the devil, if I choose to walk with God. The scary thing after preaching this for some time is that I can't control the lives of other people. There are people I'd like to reach in and change them. I would like to make them do what they need to do. Free will says I can't do that. But I can do everything to lead the way, to encourage, to show the way, to help them understand. And may God bless us and help us as we choose to serve him. Thank you. I've got about another hour of stuff I'd like to say, but the clock says no. God bless you. Thank you.